talking to understand something, and you just couldn't get it. And then you hear someone talking about it or preaching about it on the internet, TV, or radio, or someone comes up and just starts talking to you and tell you the answer. Or maybe you were just this short at the end of the payday to pay the mortgage or the rent, buy the foods, get the board, get the money. And you know what? That time you needed it, someone just happened to provide you the information. Or when you were just that short of money, all of a sudden a refund check came in the mail for something that you overpaid, or someone came up and just provided money for one reason or another. You know, that's not coincidence. That was God. But how did those other people, or how did that radio station know to do what they needed to do? Well, God told them. And it was also because somebody was praying for you. What is prayer? Well, first of all, although you can pray silently, it's an open form of communication between you and God. And you know, before the crucifixion of Christ, when the veil was torn in half, you didn't have that two-way form of prayer. You had to go pray to talk to a priest who had to take the prayers for you. It was a one way, because it wasn't coming back down, although he answered prayers. But after the veil, it's an open communication. You talk to God. Yeah. I'm not going to say you hear God's voice back. That is an extremely, very, very rare occasion. But it does happen for some years. A lot of times, a scripture will come to mind, or someone will come up and tell you. But my sermon today is a praying church. And we need, as a church, to pray. We need to pray corporately. What's that mean? That's like we are right now. We're all together, and not just one person praying, which we can, like Pastor does, but the whole church. So before I get into my sermon, let's open with prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we come before you, glorify and praise your name. We thank you for this time to talk about prayer, Lord, to talk to you about it. We ask that you bless us, open our minds and hearts, and give me your authority and understanding to keep my voice strong through this sermon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Point one. First of all, first half of verse one. First of all, I ask you to pray for all people. This is I'm quoting in here from the easy to read version. So there's different versions, but first of all. What do I mean by first of all? Well, when he reads this, it means, hey, pay attention to what I'm saying. This part right here is important. So first of all, I ask that you pray for all people. All people? What's all? Everyone. You know that just can't get along with. You know, that coworker who always just gets there and just, oh! You need to pray for them. We need to pray for everyone. A praying church needs to pray. Isn't that a duh? But you know what? There are churches all around the world and here in America where they have never come to the Lord in corporate prayer. We shake our heads. That's terrible. But then we fail to notice that in our private lives, we don't go in private prayer. A praying church is a church that prays together as a body. A praying church is a church that prays together as a group, small group. A praying church is a church that prays with its family. A praying church is something the church where the people go in private prayer to the Lord, just the two of them. We need to pray. That's why it says, first of all, we need to pray. You know, we all think about, you know, there's Pastor Brent again, about every 3 or 4 times he gets up in front of preachers talking about praying again. Well, it's kind of important. Just like the old country pastor said, he had 6 sermons. He preached them over and over and over again. After about 6 months, the leaders of the church came up to him and said, Pastor, when are you going to stop preaching the same sermons over and over again? When you start listening to the first 6. Well, I'm not going to say you're not praying, will I? We need to pray. So a praying church prays. Look at it that way, as we just talked about. It's not so good. It's kind of important. But why is it so important, again, to say, first of all? This means it's important that while we are praying, first pray for this. For what? Pray for the people. Pray for those in authority over us. Pray for those who are unsaved. As a member of our churches, we need to remember to pray. Set aside a time. How many of you use your digital calendar? Put an alarm in your calendar, set aside a time of day for your personal prayer. Just you and God. Pray for the church. When I say church, what do I mean? The people, everyone, we are the church. Pray for everyone, especially if you know there's someone who is in need. Have you ever been sleeping and had a real nice sleep, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, you woke up and someone was on your mind? Don't go back to sleep. Get down and pray for that person. God is putting something on your heart. This person needs prayer now. And if you're part of a prayer circle, you've got some fellow prayer warriors, wake them up. Give them a call. Say, hey, the Lord's calling us to pray for this person right now. Let's pray. Give you an example on that. There was this group of 7 men that were prayer warriors. They had their own little
But his mind was there. He needed prayer. He called all seven men, the other six men, and they all got down. So they didn't have to come together. They were connected. And they all prayed for that man. About a year later, that missionary came to the church. And he was giving them a little message. And he was talking about one day when he was out there. This was in Africa where there was some of the warring. You know, you get sometimes there's warring, they're trying to kill everybody. And he was in the middle of that. And he had these group of men coming at him with machetes, with the full intent of cutting him up to pieces. And he said all of a sudden they all stopped, had a look of absolute fear in their eyes. They dropped their machetes, turned, and ran. He didn't know why. But a few months later, he met one of those men in a church. The man was saved. And told him, "We were there, we were ready to kill you." And suddenly, seven giant men holding flaming swords standing in front of us. Scared the sin out of that man. He told that story in church. And after service, this man got woke everybody up. When did this happen? And he told him about the date and the time. That was the exact date and time the Lord put upon his heart to wake up and to get the other six men and for them to pray for that mission. Don't tell me prayer doesn't work. God puts it on us to pray. As a church, we need to pray. We need to pray for our government. Not just now, but all the time. But we need to pray for our government. We don't want to pray that someone gets taken out of the government. We don't want to pray that someone gets it. We want to pray that God will intervene in the government. We just want to pray for the rulers. Remember, we don't want to pray negative. As a church, we need to have that public prayer we talked about. We need to have that group prayer. You're part of a small group. Spend time in prayer. We need to have prayer as a family. How many of your family spend time in prayer? We need to spend time in private prayer. Pray for those in need. Pray for your other members. If you go down the list in your mind, try to pray for each one of them. If you can't remember everyone's name, just say, "You know who I'm praying for, Lord." Pray for the leaders. Maybe Pastor Lee will lead your prayers out. We need to pray that our country turns back to God. And we pray also during all this time so that we will know and remember there is only one God. We pray. But when we pray for those people, what are we supposed to be praying about? One, glad you asked. Takes us to point two. Pray for all people. In verse 1, complete. First of all, I ask that you pray for all people. Ask God to bless them and give them what they need and give thanks. As a church, we need to pray for everyone and pray for God to pour out his blessings upon them. You know, God blesses saved and the unsaved. He sends the rain out on everybody, right? But there's special blessings for the saved. Pray for the Christians worldwide. Irregardless of the denomination, but for Christians worldwide. Pray for those who serve protecting this
country, the military, police, fire, EMS, anyone, Coast Guard, as we serve, protect this country. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for your co-workers and your bosses. We talked about that. If you're a supervisor, pray for all your employees, especially that one who just is like a stone in your shoe. Pray for God to provide for their needs. Sometimes you know what that need is. We talk to each other, right? We should be sharing our needs with one another. Sometimes you just don't know. Pray for them anyway. God knows. But what's important also is what so many people forget when they're praying. And give thanks. Do not forget to give a prayer of thanksgiving. Ask God, or tell God, thank you for answering my prayer. Wait a minute, Pastor. I just prayed for it. It hasn't been answered yet. Out of faith, give thanks to God for what you have prayed, that He will answer your prayers. If you do not believe God will answer your prayers, then guess what? He's not going to. There is a lot of Christians, you know, that really, they pray, but they really don't believe God's going to answer the prayers. You know, I can remember times as a little kid, we always used to challenge each other and we'd go out in a strong wind and spit in the wind. What does it do? It comes back in our face. That's the same thing if you don't believe that you, when you're praying, that your prayers will be answered. You're spitting in the wind. It's a waste of time. But out of faith, and trusting in God, and with a heart of thanksgiving, pray to God and tell Him, thank you for answering my prayer. A praying church prays with thanksgiving, knowing that there is only one God, who hears our prayers, cares about our well-being, and answers our prayers. Point three. First of all, pray for people. Now, praying for the rulers. Verses 2 and 3. You should pray for rulers and for all who have authority. Pray for these leaders so that we can live quiet and peaceful lives full of devotion to God and respect for Him. This is good and pleases God. Corporately, small groups, in family and privately, pray for those in authority. Whether it's your city, your county, your state, the federal, your church, your job, pray for those who are in authority. Remember to pray for the government, those in authority. Pray that they might rule in truth and compassion. Pray that they might turn to God. Pray that your leaders will adhere to God so that we may have peaceful lives. So we may live a life devoted to God and respect for the truth. You know, there's a lot of countries in the world where the government doesn't allow you to have a peaceful Christian life, that if you're a Christian, you're going to die. There are countries in the world like that right now. You need to pray for this.
But don't just pray for those in the government that you like. Not just for those that are, well, they're okay. But pray for everyone in the government. Remember where the Bible tells us to pray for our enemies and pray for those who spitefully use you? Well, then if you got someone in authority, shouldn't we be praying for them? Why? What did we learn from Daniel? We've studied Daniel. God takes leaders down, and God puts leaders in place. We need to pray, regardless of who they are, for our leaders. Pray for them. And when you pray for them, pray with thanksgiving to the one true God, that they might listen to the one true God. And remember, it's God, not people, who tear governments down and builds governments up. Sometimes people tear governments down themselves, and maybe it was God's will, maybe they will face the judgment of God for doing something. Point four, pray for the unsaved. You got a relative who doesn't know Christ? You got a neighbor? How about that co-worker that feels like a stone in your shoe? Pray for them. That they might come to know Christ. Pray that God will soften their heart and draw them unto Christ. That they might be saved. This pleases God. For God desires that all might be saved. Well, Pastor, then why isn't everybody saved? Well, one, God draws and remnant, but He is open to everyone. Ask for forgiveness. Accept God as the one true Savior. But if you don't do that, you know, there's only one way to heaven. We pray for those whom we know that are unsaved, that might accept the one true God through the only one way of salvation, through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And through Jesus Christ, they gain access to God the Father. Point five. Pray only the one true God. As a church body and as individual members of the church, we must pray and remember through our prayers that there is only one true God. I've said that several times in my sermon, but stop and think about this. There are Christian churches, or that's what it says on the door, throughout the world and throughout the United States, that say, well, there's multiple ways to God. They can get there through any God, as long as they're faithful to their God. And that's not what my Bible tells me. There is only one way to God, through Christ Jesus. There is one God, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, don't let some of Satan's teachings that have slipped into some of our fellow churches cloud your vision. All three, the Trinity, existed from eternity past. One, Jesus wasn't created when He was born. He was God from eternity past. The Holy Spirit didn't come into being when Jesus died. He existed from eternity past. The Trinity
who have forgotten their salvation. We must pray believing that as we pray, there is only one God. We must not fall into this forgetfulness. No, we must not fall under Satan's trap. And don't let anyone fool you to say that Satan doesn't love to come to church. It's his favorite hunting ground. He got to all of them out there. He knows he can't take you away, but he can make you to where you won't bring anyone else to Christ. So he'll come in here and he'll spread his little secrets to you. He'll throw his little darts. Don't fall for his trap. Remember, we pray for everything. Not just for those people. We pray for everyone. We pray for the government. Not just the Democrats or Republicans. Everyone. Even if we don't like that person. Remember, we should not hate. If we don't like that person, we must pray for everyone. We must pray. As a church, we need to pray corporately. Because when a church stops praying, the church starts stumbling and falling down. And we must continue to pray. We must, first of all, remember to pray for all people. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God, in heaven, we praise and glorify your name. We thank you, dear Lord, for you are the one true God. We thank you for your word that you provided to us, that we might follow. We thank you, dear Lord, for the teaching of us of how to pray. We pray, oh Heavenly Father, that we remember to pray and to always pray with thanksgiving for everyone. In Jesus' name.